ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 श्री विष्णु सहस्रनाम 525 महार्ह which means he who is worthy of worship. Srila Prabhupada often pointed out that the tendency to worship there is inherent in every person, every human being at least. Even though there may be hierarchy in subhuman species, you see the cows, the dogs, they recognize one as being greater than another, but exactly the tendency to worship, we can say that manifests in human life. Srila Prabhupada pointed out that even people of very dull consciousness, or not civilized people, they'll worship a mountain, thinking it a great power. So the tendency to worship is there. Now that seems, worship means to recognize someone or something as being far superior, and that one is dependent upon, subordinate to. The concept of God or gods has been there in human society, at least in the Kali Yuga, the study of history, that it's according to the anthropological understanding that human society has developed only in the last few thousand years. So they analyze different worship of different gods, and they think in primitive societies they worship gods, but their understanding of God was some superior supernatural power, but not necessarily a very good person, or even a fair person. Different societies would worship different gods, and if one society was conquered in battle by another, then the conquered society would adopt the god of the conquering society, thinking that, well, their god is better than our god. Otherwise, how could they beat us? The Islamic forces overcame India, so they thought, well, the Hindus should submit to us because our God is better than their God. Otherwise, how could we win? Maybe it's the Mayavadi concept of the world being the Leela of God, who's not really any person anyway. It's all very complicated. Who can understand all these things? Anyway, there's the mentality of, the basic outlook of people in this world is demoniac, in as much as they reject God, and they Ishvaroham aham bhogi. I'm the controller. I'm the enjoyer. I'm the one to be worshipped. That's the general demoniac mentality. But then on the other hand, we have this tendency to worship, and that manifests, if not in a religious way, to worship. Practically, we see people, they like to worship sports stars, cinema stars. Once I was on a train, this was many years ago, and there were two very big guys from Pakistan on the train. I think they must have been Partans. And they were saying, they were talking to the young Indian boys who seemed to be very respectful to them. That, oh, this, what's his name? Khan, cricket player, Ish. Imran Khan. I was thinking of Ishran Khan. Ishran Khan is someone else. Ishran Khan, there's someone called Ishran Khan. Maybe, probably there is. Anyway, Imran Khan, he's saying he's not an ordinary man, he's a superman. And the boys were, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. Superman. So they're supposed to be Muslims. They didn't say he's God. They said he's a Superman. So that tendency to elevate, to give importance to something which is not really important at all. In this case, a game of the ability to play cricket, and to elevate it to something godly. So that tendency to worship is there. So the tendency to worship is, as Prabhupada pointed out, that's the beginning, that tendency is the beginning of spiritual life. But then if that's ascribed to materialistic people, just like cinema stars, sports stars, music stars, political idols, that word is used there, idol, they're considered so great. Or one may worship a great demon. Hitler was practically worshipped by the German, many of the German people, most of the German people. In other words, they had not formal worship as we do with offering a lamp or putting the, not in exactly a religious way, but having a tremendous sense of respect. Communism, in Russia, communism, they didn't, to put it mildly, they didn't encourage religion, but they idolized Lenin and later Stalin, and big pictures and statues, and people would come from all over Russia. If they came to Moscow, it's a must. They must stand up in line to see Lenin's mausoleum, his dead body, in other words. So that tendency, oh, what a great person, oh, a great feeling of awe and reverence for such a person. So I'm criticizing here, or why should they worship Lenin or anyone? But that tendency to worship is an inherent tendency. Even if we're demoniac and we want to think of ourselves as the greatest, I am the greatest, Muhammad Ali said. Cassius Clay said, when he converted to Muhammad Ali, he said, no, Allah is the greatest. That was famous, I think it was 1964 Olympic Games, the boxing, heavyweight boxing gold medal went to Cassius Clay, an American boxer who later converted to Islam. But he said, I am the greatest. He wasn't very humble. But he did become humble after he accepted there is God, there is Islam. So the tendency to worship, if it's directed towards materialistic people, it increases our demoniac tendency. And if it's directed towards demigods, then it doesn't purify us. It saves us from falling down to more than we would if we didn't worship them. That much it can be said. And according to the demigods we worship, we're in different values. The people who worship Kali, they're on a very low level, but at least it saves them from falling down further. At least they're following some kind of Vedic restriction at some level. But worship of demigods doesn't purify, nor does it help one even to come to a proper understanding of the nature of reality. We have to clearly understand who is to be worshipped. That tendency to worship, who it should be directed toward, that is Krishna, that is Vishnu. Arha means worship. Who is worthy of worship? The greatly worshipable one. The Vedic culture is one of respect, of worship. Worship of the gurus. The parents are seen as gurus. The teachers are seen as gurus. Elders The term guru in its broadest sense includes elders, even older brother, older sister. They're all to be highly respected, worshipped, brahmanas. The Vedic culture is one of worship, but who is alter? That should be there. We're not saying that when we say, or when we quote Krishna, Mame Kam Sharanam Raja, take shelter of Krishna only, that doesn't mean that we don't respect anyone else, but that respect for others should be seeing them in relation to Krishna. She she param bandhu, she pita mata. What is that? She param bandhu, she pita mata, she je. I can't remember the second line. That's our greatest friend, that's our father and mother, who teaches us to worship Krishna. So that culture of respect is there, but then we have to know who to direct that to. Otherwise, if we think, well, all the gods are the same, everything is just a manifestation of the impersonal. Even if the Mayavadis, they accept that Vishnu is the ultimate worshipable, we have to understand who he is, the supreme person. He is not simply, he is eternal person. So to understand Aja, this name is very important because he's not, I didn't mention this yesterday, but that's another point which comes up in consideration of Mahaha, the word Aja, the name Aja comes before this. He's unborn, which means the Mayavadis, they have a concept that the impersonal becomes manifest. So Krishna is born, he's a manifestation of the impersonal absolute. But no, he's unborn. That means he's always, that form is eternal. His personality is eternal. It's not that it's a manifestation of something impersonal. And that personality, that supreme personality of Godhead, is most worshipable. And Mayavadis, they think when they become liberated, they don't have to worship anyone anymore because they're on the level of God. So why do you have to worship anyone anymore? And then it's the same tendency. Ishvaroham aham bhogi. I am the supreme. Now, we worship as long as we're in material consciousness, but when you're in spiritual consciousness, you understand, well, it's all the same, everything is all God, and I realize it, so I'm God, I'm more God. We're all the same, but I'm more the same than you are. I already realized it. I don't know, it never made any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to anyone. So, the sense of worship, it's not just something which is done by order. You should worship. But there's a purpose for that, because we are dependent upon and we should be grateful to others. We Devarshi Bhutapta Nrinang Pitrinam Nakinkarona. We are Rini. We are debtors to the demigods who give water, heat, light, and so on. They are the agents of giving water, heat, light to the rishis who have given us knowledge of how to live in this world and how to get out of it. To other living beings, even, of course, more so in traditional society than nowadays, but we should be grateful to horses, cows, elephants, who assist in human life. To relatives, friends, other humans, we're indebted to all of them. The forefathers, by whom we got this body, mother, father, grandfather, grandmother, so on, going back. So we should be grateful to them. It's offering respect, worship. The word for offering respect and The word puja, that's often translated as worship, but it can mean respect, which is respect in English doesn't have the same connotation as worship. Worship is much more profound, but puja can also mean it's offering respect. So we offer respect. We see others as superior to us. But who is the ultimate? What is the person to whom offering respect to is the ultimate object? In other words, who is supreme? That we, by offering respect to, by worshipping, that all is, yeah, na kinkara, sorry, that verse, devarshi bhutat nirang pitri nam na kinkara naim ranicha rajan sarvatmana yasharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihritya kartam. If we make Mukunda, Krishna, the center of our respect, then everything else is included, because everyone else has to respect Krishna. If we respect demigods but we neglect the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it's very faulty. It's something like we know the chief constable in our village, or the village constable. I don't know what the system is in this country, but the village constable used to be the police in England. They would come around on their cycle. We know that the person in the village. So if the chief of police of the whole area comes, and still we offer respect more to the constable. I don't know this chief of police. And so we give more respect to the village constable. Then that's a violation of etiquette, and that's faulty. We should know the constable is subordinate to the higher officer. So we should know who is the one above all, who is worshipped by the one that we worship. We worship the devas, but deva-deva is Krishna. He's the one who is worshipped by those who are worshipable. Yang Brahma Varanendra Rudra Maruta Stunvanti Divyai Stavaya Veda Sangha Upanisha Veda Sangha Kramapanisha Dair Gayanti Yang Samagaha Dhyana Vastita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yogino Yasyanta Navidu Sura Suragana Devaya Tasmai Namaha. That person who is worshipped by all the various demigods, who is described in all the Vedas, Upanishads, and corollary literatures, who is seen in meditation by the yogis, whose end, the end of whose glories, cannot be known, is not known by the demigods or the asuras, that God we should offer our respect to. That is Krishna, that is established by Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should know exactly who is that person to who should be worshipped, otherwise our tendency to worship will be misdirected. In the Rajasuya sacrifice of Yudhishthira Maharaj, there was discussion, Agra Puja, so many great personalities from all over the universe were present. Who should be worshipped first? There was a discussion. Sahadev said Krishna should be worshipped. And Shishupal didn't like that. He objected to that. He didn't object to the prospect or the concept of worship, but he objected that Krishna should be worshipped. So even though he wasn't against the concept of worship, because he rejected that Krishna is most worshipable, he's known as a demon. So it may be that someone's religious, they may be religious, they may be worshipping, but they may, because they don't accept Krishna as the ultimate object of worship, then they are counted as demons. in the egalitarian concept of life, which is much propagated nowadays in the Western countries especially. There's another idea, we don't respect or worship anyone, you don't give respect to others. This is also demoniac. You say that, well, everyone has the tendency to worship. Yeah, but even then, you see they're worshipping film stars, cricket stars, and so on. If someone has to make a conscious decision to rewire themselves psychologically if they don't want to give respect to anyone. But then they have to give respect to if they go to work, in their office. We may talk about egalitarianism, try to preach that in the army. It doesn't work. Or even in if you're in a job working, you have to do what your boss says. You may not like it. You may not agree with it. So to worship is simply sanity. And to know who is the ultimate object of worship, by worshipping whom, that our life will be successful in the best possible way. That's the supreme maintainer, the supreme protector, the supreme destroyer. He can destroy us also if he wants to. That is Krishna. That we should understand. So this name, Maharha, means who is the supreme object of worship. Worship, of course, means by formal ceremony, and our whole life should be one of worship, offering ourselves completely in the service of Krishna. So Krishna is the one who is to be worshipped by all living beings, however great they may be, in all times and all places. And all circumstances. Hare Krishna.
There are low classes of worship and higher classes of worship.
Lower classes of worship and higher classes of worship, yeah. According to the modes of nature.
I was asking what differentiates.
What differentiates, yeah, according to the modes of nature. People are attracted to different kinds of worship. Hare Krishna.